I thought Pastor was leading up to the detail of you where I've been for the last.
Jealousy?
Was he patronized?
That's a rhetorical question, right?
Yeah. That's it.
I can tell you what Becker's weather is going to be 200 days from now. 82 and sunny.
Yeah.
It's that way every day.
Every day.
Every single day. It's just absolutely gorgeous day. And I got to go there because I had a friend that wanted to go there, and I got to be a tour guide. And you know, I tell everybody, you can't believe the beauty that you see. There's one hike that we do. It's called the Makapu Lookout. And there's this lighthouse on the corner of the island, because that's actually the south-facing corner of the island. It's the farthest point of Oahu. And there's a lighthouse there that actually is still functioning. When you go out there, you can see another island, one of the other Hawaiian islands off in the distance. When we were there, there's a volcanic fog. We call it vlog over there, so it was really hard to see it, but you could see it out there. And we got to see the humpback whales. Normally we're there during the summertime. Jackie and I go over during the summertime, and we the whales are not there. They're up in Alaska. And the water there is just unbelievably blue. It's so blue that you would think, if somebody took a picture of it, you would think that they photoshopped it. It is absolutely unbelievable. And I tried to tell my friend that. I'm like, when we go to this, you're going to look out and you're going to see blue as far as you can look, because it goes blue ocean out as far as you can see, and then beautiful blue skies. And just to stand there and look at what God created out in the middle of nowhere, it's just absolutely gorgeous. Now, I tell you that, but the most important thing that I get to do is I get to go see my daughter.
Amen.
And I get to go to a really good church when I'm there.
Amen.
And I get to hear some good preaching.
Amen.
And get convicted about stuff that I need to be convicted about.
That's good.
So, I want to ask you a question. How many of you and the four girls don't get to answer right away? Because I went at their house working before I went on vacation, and they were just, you know, hammering me about my message. So how many of you remember what my last message was about? See, their hands are up fast. Miss Tanya?
You talked about being faithful in the little things.
Mm.
Okay. Do you remember what specifically I was I used? We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Pastor, you didn't hand out.
Okay, yeah, I did. What I would remember is that you were going to preach on faithful women today, faithful men then.
I preached on faithful women last time.
You did?
Yeah.
I guess my note is really very accurate.
Mr. John, do you ever ask if people remember what you preached on?
No, I'm too discouraged.
You don't even want to
know. Too discouraging. Yeah. Hit my check and go.
And speaking of that, nobody gave me any money to be short today. So,
never worked.
Yeah, it never worked. Well, you know, I got $11 last time, and I was thinking that, you know, I don't want to be bought out for $11. I don't want even anybody to think they can buy me for $11. They need to grease the pot a little bit more.
Josh would ask about what would happen with $100.
Oh, I might knock a half hour off. So we talked about faithful women. Do you remember that?
That part
no?
Okay. The rest of it.
Now, does anybody remember any of the faithful women that we talked about? Because nobody remembers that actually what we talked about, faithful
Sarah.
Women.
Sarah.
Oh, that's one of them. Yeah, good. There was two more. You guys girls got to wait. Oh, Neil, you can answer.
Anna.
Huh?
Anna.
No. You're close.
Girl,
no. It's missing an H. It's missing an H. Did he say Hannah or Anna?
I said Anna.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Hannah. Okay, Anna. Do you remember who Anna was? She was a really old woman. Really old. Like 107-ish. And who else? All right, Grayson, go ahead.
The woman at the well.
That's right, the woman at the well. All right. Now, how many of you were here and remember me talking about my shed? Okay. That's good. Because today I was going to talk about what the rest of that verse in 2 Timothy 2:2 talks about. Where Paul was instructing Timothy to find faithful men and teach them. And that was the whole reason why I preached the last two messages, faithful men and faithful women. To find faithful men and find faithful women to teach them the things that Paul had taught him. But that's not what I'm going to preach on. Because I went to Hawaii. And while I was there, God kept hammering me about something that he's been hammering me about since I came here. You all know that we are no longer going to Grace Bible, that we're coming here. And if any of you, and I can sit with, and even today, sitting with Randy, it's good to see him. He used to go to Grace Bible. But our conversation often leads to pain that was caused there. And if you've never gone through having to leave a church, it's very, very painful and very draining physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yes, sir, it is.
And let me explain the emotional part of it. Imagine that you have friends here, and I'm sure that you all do. May not all get along the greatest, but when they start leaving because there's a problem in the church, because they're being told they have to leave, it hurts you as a person because they're your friend. And now they're not fellowshipping with you anymore. They're not worshiping with you anymore. And if there's one thing that us Christians need to do, is worship together, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another. That's what the local church is really all about, is to build one another up. Because as soon as we walk out those doors, everything in that world out there wants to tear us down and destroy us. So it shouldn't be happening in the church. But when it does, it just drains you. It sucks you dry. It's like there's dead batteries out there and you're the power source and you're being sucked and you have nothing back there behind you. And there's a point that you get to that you look like you're still able to charge, but you're not. And that's basically how we came in here. We're just drawn out. Okay? And in the process of that, there was a lot of things that me as a man, I let go. In my family, in my home, in my spiritual life. It didn't necessarily look like it was happening, but it was happening. And God kept convicting me about being a good steward. You know that every single one of us have the right to be a steward. We're actually chosen to be a steward of our lives, steward of the gospel. So, I'm going to talk to you about stewardship. Now, it's interesting because I was getting convicted about that in many areas of my life. The shed was one of them. But that wasn't the first place that we got convicted about that. The first place was my physical body. And many of you know that when we come here and we stay in the dinners downstairs, we don't consume the food that's brought here. It's no offense to anybody here. But we've made a decision that we're going to eat differently.
Amen.
Because there's one thing that God's given me that I need to take care of the rest of my life. And that's my physical body. And I'm not here to preach at any one of you. I want you to understand that. I'm not going to step on your toes. And if I do, it's not me that's stepping on your toes. I was in a size 38 pants. I weighed 229 pounds. When I married my wife, at 21 years old, and I weighed 142 pounds. I was wearing a size 32 pants. And I know that we all grow as we get older, but most of it was because of me. I made the wrong decisions. I ate that second piece of pie. I ate the first piece of pie when I shouldn't. I had the second and thirds at the dinner table. And God said to me, Mike, 229 pounds, almost 100 pounds more than you were when you married your wife. What's going to happen when you're 65 years old? How much are you going to weigh then? How much are you going to have on your back? Because it's like carrying a 100-pound knapsack on my back everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Up the set of stairs, down the set of stairs, out of my bed, off the floor, wherever I'm at. Calling underneath Neil Ford's call space.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I found something that worked for us. I'm now in a 34. I still have a long ways to go, and that's the important part of stewardship. You have to understand. My wife has done better than I am. She's down 3 sizes, and I won't tell you where she started, and I'm not going to tell you where she's at now. I may look dumb, but I'm not. Eating is probably one of the hardest things for us to control as human beings. And my message isn't about eating. I don't want you to think about that. It's really about stewardship. And it's not just, that's where it started for us. It was the physical part. We knew, and we have talked about this for years, because both of us, every once in a while, we fluctuate up and down. And it was very hard for us to find something that actually works and works well. We actually eat more food now than we did before. We're eating different kinds of foods. And it's a balanced diet. It was created by doctors, and it works well. It works very well for us. I have tons more energy, and it's not just because of losing weight. I had tons more energy almost instantaneously from eating differently. And there's something that I want you to learn from that, is that it doesn't matter where God convicts you or if he even does convict you about stewardship in your life. But it's about, I can't do it on my own. I need to find people that are doing something well. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be marriage. It could be reading your Bible. It could be going out and soul winning. It could be any number of things in your life. It could be that you feel like not only do you need to change your diet, you need to have an exercise program. Go find somebody that's an expert in that area. If you have difficulty keeping things organized, and that's part of stewardship, if you have problems keeping things organized, we have a person right here in our church that it's just who he is, Pastor Hain. Go to Pastor Hain and talk to Pastor Hain. Hang out with Pastor Hain for a day, and you'll learn how to be organized. Because everything that he does, almost everything that he does, is organized. It's very important to go and seek counsel from others. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel is a safety, right? That's what Solomon told us in Proverbs, right? But oftentimes we're afraid to admit that we have a problem in our life. And then sometimes we get frustrated because we'll go to somebody, you know, and that happened while I was in Hawaii. Somebody came to me and was talking to me about some things in their life, and I'm like, I don't have the answer. I said, I can pray for you. I might have some basic things that I can tell you, but I don't have the answer to that problem. And sometimes that's what happens. We go to somebody, maybe our pastor, and we ask him, you know, if you were to go to Pastor John, and I'm not picking on you, opposed to Pastor Hain, and ask him about being organized. Uh-huh. You went to the wrong person.
Yes, you did.
You should have went to Pastor Hain. And that's just the way it is. If you go to some people about diet, you're going to be going to the wrong person. You go to somebody about exercise program, you're going to be going to the wrong person. You know, it's just, you got to find the person that's good in that area. And they're not always going to be good. Just because they helped you in one area doesn't mean they're going to be able to help you in another area. But you have to be willing and wanting as a steward to learn from those people that are better in that than you are. Now, I learned that a long time ago. And I know most of you, you know me as the Mike Falk, the contractor, the dumb contractor. But for almost 25 years of my life, I managed other people's businesses for them. Most people don't know that about me. But one of the things I was really good at was coming in and looking at all the problems that I saw. And I not necessarily have any solutions to them, but God has given me the ability to be able to pick out all the things that are wrong in a business. He's also given me the ability to help in a lot of the areas fix those things. Now, there is in my life, I've had many times where I've gone into a situation that was in dire needs of being fixed. They had somebody in there that was in the situation that I was in before I came to Black Creek when I left Grace Bible. They just had given up. You know, there's somebody that might have gotten into a rut. And sometimes that's what happens in our lives. We get into ruts. You know, remember my shed? I told you how messed up it was. I kind of knew where most everything was in there, but it was just easy for me to just come in and dump it on the floor and not clean it up. And that's the same thing that happens oftentimes in our life, or my life, is that I got comfortable. Things were going right here, so you just kind of let it slide until it gets out of control. And that's what managers do. Now, I had one situation that I came into a retail situation that I had 6 months left in the fiscal year. They had projected that store was going to lose $30,000. For that store to lose $30,000 was a large number. It wasn't like you could just, like, in a month you could make that up. It didn't have that kind of a revenue flow. So they put me into that situation, and I came in there, and I sat there for a couple of days, watched the people, and I said, this is what we're going to do. And I formulated a plan, and I laid it out, and I talked to the people, and I trained them. And I just stuck to my plan. That's what a steward needs to do.
That's right.
As God's stewards, and God's made you a steward of your own life. And he's given you responsibilities in your life. Some of you, it's a family. Some of you, it's being a spouse. Some of you, it's doing your job at your place of employment. Some of you, it's being here and doing a job here. Everywhere in our life, we can look at things that God has asked us to manage. For us, we started out with our physical bodies. And you can look at me and you can say, Mike, you aren't 145 pounds right now. And I know that. But my goal is to get back there.
Amen.
I see that there's a problem. And I formulated a plan. And I'm going to stick to it. Do you know that 97% of every person that goes on a diet, 97%, let me repeat that again, 97% within a year are no longer on that diet. 97%. That's a huge number. That's like a major failure in my mind.
Yeah.
So, for me, physically, that means that I got a lot of odds against me that it's not going to happen. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It could be anything in your life that God's stepping on your toes right now about in your life. Remember going back to my shed? I mean, most of you guys remember my shed. And that, to me, that was just like something that God said, Mike, talk to them about that. Okay? And I was obedient. Because it was right in the middle. I just told you where I was gonna preach out of. It was right in the middle. And I'm like, I just obedient. I just did what he told me to tell you. And that's what I'm doing right now.
Amen.
Because I wanted to teach on discipleship. God told me you need to share your testimony with these people. It's about what God did. What God's doing.
Amen.
we are extremely happy that our physical bodies are changing. When I went to Hawaii, the pastor there was preaching on stewardship. For the next month, he's going to be preaching on stewardship. So I got to sit and listen to 6 messages about stewardship in different areas. And then God started poking me and saying, Mike, you know about that situation in your home? You need to deal with that. You've let that slip for years, and you need to deal with it. My home was like my shed. My life was like my shed. Maybe your life's like my shed. I had a friend ask me just recently about going into the ministry, because he has an opportunity to do that. And I said to him, I said, what happens if the people that you're going to, and I'm not saying this to step on anybody's toes, I want that very clear. What happens if the people that you're going to minister to were allowed to come and stay in your home?
Come on.
And be with you for the next 7 days and to watch every single thing that you do.
Come on.
Every single thing that you do. Every time you overreact to your wife, every time you watch that television show that's not a godly show, every time you overeat, you get impatient, you're not doing the things that you need to do in your household, because one of the requirements to be a bishop is that you manage your house well. I'm going to tell you right now, I could not be a pastor, because if somebody spent a week with me, watching me, paying attention to everything that I do and say and watch and how I react and don't react and the things that I'm not taking care of that I should be taking care of, I don't meet up to God's standard. Not even close to it. Not because I can't. It's not because I can't be a good steward. It's because I'm choosing not to be a good steward. A lot of us, it's out of complacency, isn't it? Sometimes it's not knowing how to be. You know, not knowing what to eat that's right. You know, you're hungry, and the only thing that's there that's quick to grab to eat is a bag of chips. You know? And now, for us, we make sure that there's fruits cut up in the refrigerator. We make sure that there's vegetables cut up in the refrigerator. So when those come, those desires to eat something come, we have a healthy alternative instead of the potato chips. Because everybody in this room would be lying to me if they told me they didn't like a nice salty potato chip. It's not just one. You know the old Lay's commercial? You can't just eat one. I can eat just one bag. You know the frustrating thing is where do you start? I mean, because all of us sit there, and it's just like my shed. You know, I told you I stood out there in my shed for a half hour. Have any of you ever been that way? Where you look at your life, maybe you walk into your house, and your house is just a complete disaster. And I don't know any of you guys' houses. I've only been in there, maybe one or two of you. You just stand there and you look and you say, where do I even begin? That's how I felt about my life. Where do I even begin? Because the shed's a mess. And it needs to be straightened up. The first thing that I think that we need to do is we need to be willing to do what it says in James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. You know what a fault is? It's a character flaw. That's what the Webster Dictionary says, and I'm paraphrasing it. But it's a character flaw. It's something that's not right with your character right now. I got several things in my life that are not right. My shed's a mess. And I'm confessing my fault right now to you guys. My shed's a mess. I've shared some things that with really close friends, exactly what is a mess. And I've asked them to pray for me. Because that's what the Bible, that verse says. Pray for one another. That you may be healed. And we know the rest of the verse. Everybody knows the rest of the verse. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How's your guys' sheds? How's your life? What's messed up in your life that needs to be fixed? You know what the wonderful thing for me is? I know that I'm a child of God. I know that. Because I go to Hawaii where everybody thinks, you know, it's paradise, you're going to have a blast, and God's convicted me the whole time I'm there. Jason and me, as his child.
Amen.
I know that if we were honest, every single one of us need to be up in the altar here.
Right.
And I'm not saying that I'm calling an altar call. I'm telling you, I know us as human beings. None of us are being stewards of our lives like we should be. We get too complacent and too lax and too comfortable in our sin that we're the guy that gets fired as a manager. And you guys have known those guys. It wasn't because they were bad managers when they started out. They just got too lazy. And then it's out of control, and then they become the yelling, screaming, you've got to do this,
right.
You've got to fix this. God's not going to do that with you. He's not going to fire you from your life. But he wants you to fix it.
That's right.
He wants you to fix it. And you know the reason why I know he wants you to fix it? Because he wouldn't leave me alone about what I was going to preach. I told him, Lord, I don't want to preach that. I don't want to tell them that. He's like, Mike, I want you to. Wouldn't leave me alone. You know, I use the Pastor Haynes as part of my example of my shed. Pastor Haynes is extremely organized. But Pastor Haynes has one spot in his desk, in his life, that's still a mess. Even though he's organized, he's still got a spot in his life that needs to be fixed. And even if everything seems to be right between you and God, there's still spots in your life that need to be fixed, that need to be right, that you need to take charge of. You need to look at it and say, God, I know I'm not managing that part of my life right. And I need to get it right between you and me. And I need to seek people that are going to help me figure it out. I'm going to talk to my friends, and I'm going to confess my faults to them, and I'm going to ask them to pray for me to have victory over it. You know, the great thing about doing that is because your friend, every time they see you, they see me, they're going to say, hey, Mike, how's that going? I've been praying for you about it. And it's going to challenge you. It's going to encourage you. It's going to convict you. I think that's the reason why God told us that we need to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. It's so that we don't become bad stewards again in that area of our life. And it's easy to sit here and go, okay, I'm going to make a list of all the things I need to fix. And then you charge off and you are like the person that goes on the diet. And a year later, you don't go back and refocus on what was wrong then and what's still wrong now that you're just living with. I know it's not going to be an easy road for me. what I need to fix. There's things that I've let happen in my household for 30 years. Things that my wife and I haven't dealt with for 30 years. Actually 29. But we've talked about them just recently. Even yesterday, we were talking about things that we need to fix in our household. And we know that it's not going to happen unless God gives us the strength to do that. Pastor, I can keep going on, but if you'd come and close us.